Hello and well done for tuning in to Sigma Sports Presents Matt Stevens Unplugged, your weekly catch-up with all things tangential to cycling. Now, my guest today on the podcast is one of the brightest fireworks in the peloton. It is Cecile Utrup-Ludwig, who rides for FDJ Nouvelle Aquitaine Futuroscope, to give them their full name, who are a UCI Women's World Tour team. And she chats to me, we know very well, of course, about her favourite places in the world to ride a bike, how to really bring your doll to life, yes, your doll to life, with a secret ingredient. Reading, and of course, the superiority of Danish pick and mix. We have another excerpt from Kenny's cassette a little later in the programme as well, so stay tuned for that if you want. Subscribe, rate and share so we can hopefully someday raise enough awareness to help break Kenny out of the pee factory. Matt Stevens Unplugged by Sigma Sports, yeah. We've all become more aware of our daily exercise routine and trying to keep track of our fitness and performance on the bike over the last few weeks. Now, one of the best ways to do that is getting your hands on a decent GPS bike computer. And now is a great time to do it because the folks at Sigma Sports have teamed up with Wahoo to give you a £25 cashback when you purchase a new Wahoo Element Bolt in the month of May. And all you need to do is to head over to sigmasports.com/podcast where you can find all of the details. Over the last few weeks, I think all of us have had a little bit more time to contemplate, to think about things, and to help pass the time. I've actually taken up art, and I've done a few watercolours of scenes, primarily in my back garden. And there's come a time where I just kind of want to show them to people. So I thought I'd actually show them on the podcast. So I've got five of you to contemplate and check out. We're going to play some lovely soothing music over the top. And I'd really love you guys to get back in touch to see what you think of these paintings. As I say, I'm just a beginner. I'm just starting out, but they mean a lot to me. Enjoy. Here's painting number one. Number two. This is painting three. And penultimately, this is painting number four. And my favourite, this is painting number five. Well, I hope you enjoyed those paintings as much as I did making them, and I'd really love to know which one was your favourite, so make sure you get in contact with us on social media. Was it one, two, three, four, or my favourite, number five? Cecile Utrup-Ludwig is one of the best young riders in the women's pro peloton, with a string of podium finishes to her name last season, as well as being the Danish time trial champion in 2016, 17 and 18. And she's also one of the biggest characters you're ever likely to meet anywhere. Now, a lot has changed since we filmed our cafe ride in Copenhagen earlier this year, which you can check out on the Sigma Sports YouTube channel. So what better way to catch up with Cecile than on this podcast? And this is because we can't make any videos. We thought we'd come up with the idea of doing a podcast, and obviously your name was right near the top of the pile because it's just a good laugh. Simple as that. It's just. I hope we didn't. I know you've been doing loads of stuff, haven't you? I bet you've been. You seem to be being quite busy.
I think it's awesome, and I am really glad you called me, Matt.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
I've actually been doing quite okay. I mean, I feel lucky. So when they did the full lockdown in Spain, I decided to go back to Denmark and stay with my family. Yeah. And here in Denmark, you know, we're allowed to ride outside on the road and allowed to go for a walk. So, you know, I feel quite privileged that I can still do that.
What I might do, because I'm leaning in, I might just drop my seat down. Just bear with me. Just imagine me falling 2 centimeters on my office chair. 3, 2, 1. There we go. Just throw it down. Oh, the excitement. Oh, God, the way we have to kind of use our imaginations these days. Anyway, let's crack on with the pod. Let's crack on. Cecile, thanks very much for joining us. Now, what I'd like you to do, first off, if you don't mind, is describe in as much wonderful detail as I know you can where you are and what you can see. So where are you? And what can you see? Describe it to us as if it was a wonderful, beautiful landscape. It might be.
It's really not a beautiful landscape. So I'm down in my old, you know, like my child's home, like in my room as a child. I mean,
as a kid. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I still feel young, though, you know. I'm down here. And, you know, it's crazy because my room is quite messy. I think it's also because there's so many boxes of, you know, old stuff that I haven't really...
It's real. This is real life that we're living. And I want to paint a picture of reality. That's why I'm asking you.
But it's really not something beautiful to describe. Okay. It's like just before I was sitting outside, but I thought, you know, with the sound and stuff, it wouldn't be that good to sit outside. I mean, with the wind here in Denmark, it's quite windy, I tell you.
Is it?
It's so crazy windy. I mean, like every day. And, you know, I've been living in Girona for now a year. And then when you come back to Denmark, you're like, you just reminded when you go out for a ride, like, holy crap, this is, you know, the wind of Denmark is like, it's like the mountains, you know, in Girona, because it's crazy resistance you get. And then, you know, okay, can I keep on talking? You must interrupt me.
No, I like it. This is your pod. Well, it's my pod, but it's yours as well. It's just like, just chat. This is what it's all about. I'm loving it.
Yes. And okay, so I'm going to continue because, you know, it's crazy because also, so I've been out training, and then, you know, if I train for, let's say, 4 hours, then I come home and I'm just like, when I come the first 3 weeks or so, I was like taking a nap every single day I came home. I mean, I'm becoming a nap queen, I tell you, Matt. It's crazy. And I was like, holy crap, why do I nap every time here? But I think, I don't know, but, you know, thinking a bit about it, maybe it's because it's colder in Denmark, and maybe it's the wind. You know, you get quite tired. What in the UK? Is it not really windy there?
It's. I tell you what. I'm just going to turn around for a second. I am turning around. Yeah. Looking outside. Today we've been so lucky over the last couple of weeks. The weather has been. I'm actually in shorts. I went out for my daily walk. We're allowed to go out for a walk every day. I went for an hour's walk. There's a little cafe about half a mile from me, and I went there and got a coffee and a piece of carrot cake, had that while I was walking along. But it's kind of like the summer holidays. It's about 19, 20 degrees. Oh. And like yesterday and the day before, it's like 23, 22. We've had a whole week of blue sky. And that combined with this kind of lockdown, it gives this kind of real sense of serenity, you know, the blue sky. You can hear the birds really clearly because there's not much traffic. Yeah. And we put out my wife in the back garden, we put a hammock that we got from IKEA out. So we've been lying on a hammock. So it's been weird, you know. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of rubbish going down, isn't it? It's an awful situation, but we're trying to make the best of it. But it's been like a mini summer holiday this week. So it's kind of weird.
Not too bad, huh? Yeah, I mean, okay, so this week, I mean, oh no. Yeah, what day is it? Oh yeah, it's Monday. So last, you know, it's crazy. I know,
it's like Groundhog Day, isn't it?
Oh, you're like, what day is it? But, you know, then, you know, people in the news, and when you watch in Danish TV, you're like, they're like, oh, which day is it today? I'm like, yeah, welcome to my world. Like, I never know which day it is. You know, it's like, there's three kind of days for me. It's like, either it's a training day, it's a race day, or it's a rest day, you know?
Yeah. So do you have any, I mean, that's the weird thing. I woke up today, and I think everybody that I speak to, it's like there's no real structure to the week. Obviously, some key workers are clearly have structure there. Still a lot of people going to work in really important jobs, and we take our hat off to those guys.
Yes.
But do you have any, have you managed to impose any sort of structure on your week at the moment, or are you struggling to do that? Because obviously with no kind of races to do, how are you kind of keeping your mind and your body kind of focused? Are you just like ticking over, as it were, or what exactly are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really, I don't feel I've been struggling with making a structure of my day. I feel, I have a good routine, getting up at around the same time each day. I think it's also, you know, like then the body has a inner timer or an inner clock, then I wake up around the same time and eat some breakfast and then go out for a ride. Then I feel, it's not like, so we can't go too much out with friends and can't go to cafes and stuff, but I feel like there is stuff to do, still. And also, you know, because, there isn't any cycling races to write about, then I feel that there's also been some media at this time. So you guys are also keeping me busy. So not
yeah. <too bad. laughs> I remember messaging you last week. I don't know whether Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah. And I said, hey, do you want to come on the pod? You said, yeah, but I'm really busy this week. Can we do it next week? It's like, so clearly you are. And looking at what you're doing on social media. And I was intrigued, actually, if you wouldn't mind. Can you answer me how you ended up being on Danish TV with that mug in your hand with that dude? Because there's a really unusual cut together edit of you primarily just laughing. And obviously, I don't understand the word of Danish. So what was all that about?
It was so funny. Like, so it's a talk show kind of in Danish. And so it's a show that goes now from Monday to Thursday, like every evening, and it goes live. And then, so I've joined that program another time, like last year, I think after the World Champs, I also joined that program. Okay. And it's like a funny talk show, you know, where we watch some clips, you know, of people doing funny stuff, and then we laugh about it pretty much. Okay. You know, okay. It's like, okay. And then, so it was just like really good fun. And that's also, I feel, the kind of things that we need in this time. I mean, to laugh of something and to get the mind a bit away, you know, from Corona and all the things, you know.
It's weird, isn't it? No, you're right. I mean, I've done I did some like soup reviews, and people said, why are you doing that? And it's like, well, I can't really do much else in my life at the moment in what I do, apart from hopefully make people smile a little bit. And
exactly.
If we can do that, I mean, and I don't think it's undermining anybody or taking away from the importance of people in jobs that matter. But, you know, we've got to be able to smile. Otherwise, I mean, and I know we'll get through this. It's going to be tough, but we've got to be able to smile. Otherwise, what's the point, you know?
I totally agree.
It's a fun, and both of us are kind of similar in that way. We do like, you know, we do like having fun, and lots of people like having fun. But it's just sometimes when you think about how unprecedented this situation is, and then you do something silly, you kind of... that I have a little voice in my mind saying, Matt, are we cool doing this? But then my other voice says to me, yeah, it's fine, Matt, because you've got to make people smile. But you know, I have sometimes a little mini internal battle with myself to kind of justify being a bit of an idiot sometimes.
Yeah, but I agree. And sometimes it's also, you know, exactly like you say, like, I don't want to step on anyone's toes. Like, and of course, we take this extremely serious, and we listen to the authorities. But, you know, on the other hand, we can't sit and cry every day and be sad, you know. Like, sometimes we need to laugh for a half an hour about this and that and about ordinary stuff, you know. So
I know. I mean, actually, talking about other ordinary stuff and, you know, picking up from your daily routine, what other stuff, because we never really got to talk about other stuff on the cafe ride quite as much. I liked it.
We talked so much.
It was insane, wasn't it? I did watch it back the other night. I was on. I like to watch YouTube on my big telly, and I stuck it on again and just laughed my way most of the way through. That was good fun, wasn't it?
Like, it brings me in such a good mood to see it. Like, but it's just like, it's just good fun being with you, man. That's, and like, we just had such a good day, like, also with the crew. I mean, it was just like, it was just a good, funny day. And I had, like, my stomach was sore, you know, like, from laughing so much. No, it was really good. Like,
it was a lot of fun. I look back with a lot of fondness on that. What I wanted to ask you was, outside of cycling and outside of clearly having a blast the vast majority of the time, apart from when you're asleep, it appears, and when you have your little naps, unless you're laughing inside a dream or something. What actually brings you pleasure in life? Do you have any? I'm sure you do, but what other interests do you have outside of bike riding? I mean, I think we've all got them, but what are your passions?
I do like cooking a lot, man.
Okay.
And at the moment, I'm really into cooking dal. Do you like dal?
I do. It's the kind of lentil kind of based situation, isn't it?
Yeah. Yummy in my tummy. And you know, I have a special ingredient, Matt. Do you know what it is?
Tell me. Is this like the secret seasoning on Kentucky Fried Chicken? Okay, talk us. I've got my pen poised, actually. So, what is your secret dal recipe? Okay. Actually, Jake, could you insert a special effect like a drum roll here? Pause.
So instead, you know, when you cook, normally you give it some love, you know, like to give the the dish some love. And instead, you know, okay, you also give it love, but you give it some dance moves.
Right. Dance moves. Okay.
Yes. And I don't know. I think you're also the dance move kind of guy. I mean, I have seen you on the dance floor in some videos, Matt.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit more about that?
I do. As I've got a little bit older, I've always secretly liked dancing.
Yes.
As I've got a little bit older, I thought, do you know what? I'm not going to try and be cool anymore because I'm just not cool. I do like to boogie. I do like to shimmy on the dance floor.
Yes.
And you know what? Although you can't see me doing it because obviously this is a podcast. There's no visuality to it, if that's a real word. I can moonwalk in one direction.
Can you?
Yeah, just one-sided moonwalk. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. But yeah, so I do love to dance a lot. And I do miss it. So actually, every time I come out of the shower, I generally have some dance music playing, generally disco music. And while I'm toweling myself off, I mean, I do have a bit of a dance with the door shut just to myself. It's like a mini private disco.
That is wonderful.
So there we go. Just to keep myself happy.
You could make a lovely dal because you would have some dance moves, you know? Like I have the onion shoulder, you know, the onion shoulder. So you need to have loose shoulders. Okay, loosen up.
Mm-mm. Yep.
We can actually do this while we podcast.
Okay.
So
you're doing like a cookery maneuver disco warm up for cutting the onions. Okay,
yes,
I love it.
Yes.
Okay, so
loosen your shoulders and, you know, also turn your head a bit around. A bit around, you know. To warm up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you keep the shoulder rolling like it's like in a circle, you know, you roll it up and down.
Right. Okay.
You know, okay. So that's how we keep the onion shoulder going. And then you have the onion in your left. It depends on which cutting hand you have. I'm right handed. Okay. So you have the onion in the left. And you have the knife in the right. And then you cut and cut and cut and cut and cut. Can you feel it, Matt?
I can feel it. I can see the onion being chopped into some very evenly squared pieces as well.
And that's you know, pretty much how I cook.
So basically, that's the way you cut the onions. I mean, and what about the rest of the dal? So what other ingredients do they have apart from the dance? Which gives it something intangible.
But you know,
you almost need to market that. You know, just think in a few years' time. Sorry to sort of change the subject slightly, but when you finish racing, you could market your own range of dals called Sile's Dance Dals. Just saying.
There's
a picture of you on the front right, throwing a little maneuver in. Anyway, just an idea. Just an idea for the back burner.
I think that is actually a pretty good idea. Do I have to pay you for that idea?
That's free. Absolutely free.
As long as I can get
a bit of free product every now and again.
Lovely. You know, also in these times, we must give some things to each other, right? We send love. I send love to you right now in a box.
Thank you very much. I tell you what, while you've sent me some love, I've just sent you a picture of some snacks. Haven't I? Now, shall we do Guess That Snack now? Because we're talking about food. You're clearly in the mindset, maybe.
Yes.
Of like a foodie mindset.
Yes.
So what I've done, I've sent you a picture of three snacks, okay? If you just want to fire that up on your phone, just to have a look at it.
Okay.
And do you want to just, I'll describe it basically. There's a picture of some Doritos, some tortilla chips, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a picture of, on the same white plate.
Yes.
There's some popcorn. Yeah.
Yes.
And then just above,
are they covered in something?
Well spotted. They're actually a toffee popcorn.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the toffee. And then just north of the popcorn are some hula hoops. Now, I'm not too sure if they have hula hoops in Denmark, but I'm sure they have something similar, yeah?
The thing was that when I received this picture, I was like, okay, so I can see there's tortillas, or what is it called? Doritos? What do you call them?
Doritos, yeah.
Doritos, yes. And I could see the popcorn, and I was like, what the f*** is that? And, but then you say hula hoops. I've never seen it, though. But it looks... what does it taste of? Can you describe that, Matt?
I'll tell you what. In a minute, I'm going to put them into my mouth, and I will fully describe them to you. And you can hear the noise. But they are... They're quite a starchy potato... They're a potato-based snack, and these are plain flavored. They're not ready-salted flavor. They come in a variety of flavors. The favorite of mine is barbecue, but these are all... Well, these are plain. These are plain. I didn't want to complicate things too much. I've kept the flavors neutral, but the quiz... Sile, is all about texture and crunch, okay? So what I need you to do is guess
this is lovely.
Which one I'm doing. And also what I'm going to ask you to do, because I saw a wonderful rendition on the internet the other day. You'd just been on Zwift for the very first time, and you sang about it. And I've not heard you singing before. So what I'd like you to do is create a new jingle for this section of the podcast. And it's basically called... Guess That Snack. So, Guess That Snack. But I'd like to do it in your own way, and we'll record it, and then we'll put some music around it, and then we'll use that going forwards for this particular section. What do you reckon?
Okay. You know, there was actually a reason why I didn't sing, because I have a terrible singing voice, Matt. I normally let the other ones sing, you know, people who can actually sing. But I can make you a very, very, I want to say nasty, but that's not the word for it now. But, you know, I can make you, I can give it my best.
Give it your best. What I'll do, if it's okay, I'll count you in. You can do a couple of versions. You can go full Disney if you want to, or you can keep it more like soul-based. Completely up to you. Okay. But I'm going to count you in, and feel free to completely express yourself. All I need is... Guess That Snack, okay?
Okay.
So, 3, 2, 1, take it away, Sile.
Guess That Snack. Guess That Snack. Guess That Snack.
Oh, the eagle has landed. That's amazing. A round of applause. So, I need you to concentrate now, Sile.
Oh, shit.
I need you to completely focus, because what I'm going to do now is I'm going to... put one of the snacks in my mouth, and I need you to guess, or tell me which one you think it is. Is it going to be the hula hoop? Is it going to be the Dorito? Or is it going to be the popcorn? Oh, right. Okay, so snack number one is going to be inserted into my mouth now. So here we go. Snack number one. Is this a hula hoop, a Dorito, or a popcorn? Here we go.
Oh, that sounds crunchy. I think it's not a popcorn. No. And it's definitely not a Dorito. I think it's the hula hoop, even though, you know, I'm not familiar with these hula hoops, but it sounds like a really crunchy one. And yeah, I'm guessing the hula hoop.
Correct! Woo! Fantastic!
How many points do you get
a point for that. You get 1 point.
Only one? Can I not get 100?
Okay, let's call it 100 points. So 100 points. It does sound a bit more important. They've got 100 points rather than
I
one,
know.
Actually. Good point. Okay, I think we might change the rules of this game going forward. So 100 points in the bag for you, Sile. Now we're going to move on to snack number two. So there's two snacks left on my plate. Is this popcorn or is this a Dorito?
Okay.
Here we go. Listen closely.
Ah, that's definitely a popcorn.
Yes, it is a popcorn. You've got amazing ears.
It's just because I'm also a snack queen, you know.
Snack queen. Oh, that 200 you know, points.
I think 200 points.
I'm just for the sake of it. There's obviously only one left. I'm going to crunch it anyway, and this will just. I think it would just pull things into focus for everybody listening as well. So here we go. This, of course, is a Dorito.
This is so funny listening to.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? But...
No, I love it. Seriously, I could love this all day. Can you grab one more?
Okay, right. Okay, I'm going to try and chew one of these in a slightly different way.
Okay.
And I'm going to put one in my mouth, and I'm going to try and mask it with a different chewing technique.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, so I'll try it. So I'm putting another one in. Here we go. What was that?
That was actually difficult, but I think it was a hula hoop.
It was a hula hoop. Flower, you're on fire today. There is no stopping. So 300 points in the bag. We'll now insert a little bit more of a jingle.
Guess That Snack.
And there we go. That was Guess That Snack with a maximum 300 points for Celia. Well done. Well done.
That is lovely.
I mean, you say you're a bit of a snack queen. What's your favourite snack? I mean, you're obviously a big fan of dal, quite clearly. You insert your own disco into dals and your technique. What about favourite snack then?
You know, Matt, I eat 24/7. It's unbelievable. You know,
are you a bit of a grazer? You're just constantly eating.
You should see. You know, it's like I've just been eating, and then a half an hour later, I'm like, oh, I'm hungry. What should we eat now? You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, really a good, like, muesli and yogurt kind of girl. Yes. Yep. I mean, that's a healthy snack, you know, we're talking
Yeah, that's pretty
here.
Healthy.
I mean, because I cannot eat the gummy bears, you know, 24/7. Otherwise, I would be a round little silly, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, then, you know, when I go up the hills, I would be really, really slow. You know, that is also not so good. So sometimes it's the healthy snack. When it gets Friday, it's party time. You know, then it's the gummy bears, and then it's the chocolate. And I'm like everything. I have such a sweet tooth, Matt. Like everything, like pick and mix. I love pick and mix.
Oh God!
Do you have that?
We do have pick and mix. I mean, it was had it for years. I mean, there used to be a shop called Woolworths, which was like a high street store, which sold everything from records to clothing. But they had a really, really big pick and mix section. And on a Saturday, I used to go in there, and it was our mum would give us like 20 pence, you know. But it was pick and mix exciting, and it's because we only had a limited amount of money.
Yes.
That made the choice even more intriguing. You had to really work out what you wanted. And, you know, rather than like having, you know, when you're an adult and you've got, it doesn't really matter how much you spend on sweets. But back then it was really important to get the selection. It was almost like tactics on buying the best pick and mix. But no, a special kind of sweet world, really. I do love pick and mix.
But you know what? It's so funny. Like, so there's also pick and mix in Spain. But you know, nothing compares to the Danish pick and mix, I tell you. It's just the world's best pick and mix. I mean, it's unbelievable, Matt. I mean you should come to Denmark just for the pick and mix.
But moving away from food, if you don't mind us just changing tact slightly. Where in the world let's assume that lockdown isn't a thing, or in the future obviously won't be. Where is the place that you feel happiest riding your bike?
Oh, that is a good question.
I mean, I'd imagine there's several. I mean, I've got several, but I'm just intrigued. It's one of those simple standard questions, but I'm always intrigued by it because we're all bike riders. We do other stuff, but finding a place that really hits the spot riding wise, I think is something that we'd all like to know, really. So where, and also it's always when you answer it, for a lot of people, it's like, oh, I need to go there and ride. It inspires other people to maybe search out that ride or that hill or that area. So where does it for you?
The funny thing is that I feel there's, like you say, there's different places in the world that, oh, this place, you know, like in Denmark reminds me of home, but it's so pancake flat, you know, it's like.
Yeah.
So for a climber, it's like, oh, I miss some mountains and some hills. So definitely a place with hills. And okay, so it's a difficult one because either, you know, like when you're, for example, when you're in Belgium and you ride on these iconic cobblestone sections and you just imagine all these big and crazy races and you're like, oh, this is awesome. You get that feeling, you know, even though you're just riding there on a normal Wednesday.
Yeah.
But then for me, like my heart is also a lot in Italy. Like I just love the language. I just love the food in Italy, and I just love the vibe in Italy. And there's so many great areas in the northern Italy, like in the Tuscany area,
yeah,
that I really like. But I could continue for hours. But like also in Switzerland, there's also so many cool mountains to ride. So, yeah.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think like Italy is always, when people ask me that very same question, Italy always comes up in the top three for me. There's a place in the UK called Cornwall, where my dad comes from, which I think we might have talked about this, that didn't end up on the cafe ride with a bit that the guys weren't there. But Cornwall is a magical place. It's, you know, when you look at the map of the UK, and if you look on towards the west, kind of the way the land tapers just under Wales, and then you've got the Atlantic, just that little peninsula of the UK is where my dad comes from. And it's really magical. It's very, very hilly, but short hills. It's like the Ardennes, but the climbs are along the coast a lot of the time. So you get these tiny little fishing villages and stuff and sheer cliffs. And that's a really magical place that I would advise anybody coming to the UK to go to. But the scale of them is, you know, pales into insignificance when compared to the Dolomites or like Tuscany and stuff. But I think Italy is my favorite place to ride. It is astonishing, isn't it? And as you say, add to that all the beautiful food, the culture, the kind of general attitude to life. It's just very calming, isn't it? I know there's also a busyness about it as well when you go to the big hearts, the big cities like Rome, for example, or Milan. Mm. But when you go out into the countryside, it's far more relaxed and you can feel the weight of the world just kind of come off your shoulders, can't you?
Exactly. And, you know, like in Italy, I also like their temper, you know, like it's a bit like me, you know, sometimes, you know, when they really get upset, you know, then they're, you know, they're up here and then 10 minutes later, they're down there, you know?
Yeah.
And then also, I like it's so different from Denmark. Like, so in Italy, you would sometimes experience that you go for a ride in your car and then suddenly you feel, oh, is there a traffic jam ahead? And then it's just because the car, you know, 10 cars in front of you stop to talk, you know, to a grandmother, you know, it's like, just what they do. Like it's just much more chilled, you know, like, oh, I saw someone I know. Okay. Let's have a chat, you know, and like in Denmark, it's much more, I need to get forward. Like I have a tight schedule, or that's how I feel.
Yeah, it's very, there's a Latin way about it. I mean, like there's a different attitude to life in the UK. The Scandinavian countries have their own kind of, the Dutch, we all have our own uniqueness about the way we carry ourselves, but I do like the kind of Latin attitude. I mean, sometimes it can be frustrating because everything is tomorrow, but by the same token, they don't seem to stress too much. Maybe they stress about small things, but they let it out of the system very, very quickly. Kind of, they're very emotional, aren't they, about what they say and kind of what they do, but then it's forgotten, isn't it? And then they move on. Whereas I think in the UK, we're far more conservative and we it's kind of pent up anger and it comes out in a different way. We've gone on a bit of a tangent, but Italy is absolutely beautiful, isn't it? It is just beautiful.
It is, and you know, like you can always get good food in Italy. Like it doesn't matter. Like you can go in and on every restaurant, and you will find some good food. Like it's just good food, and I love the language. I love the sound of the language.
Italy is good. Do you speak it? Do you speak any Italian?
No, unfortunately not.
But you should be able to pick it up. I mean, you know, it's lovely, isn't it? I do. I'm kind of envious. I speak a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit. I can understand conversations in bars and stuff, but I speak French okay. But Italian is the other language I would really love to learn, and that's one of the things that I love about professional cycling is the fact that, you know, there's all these languages that are spoken in the peloton. Obviously, English is spoken primarily, but I love the fact that when you look at experienced professionals, the fact they can speak multiple languages is such a cool thing to come out at the end of a career to look back on and be proud. Yes. But also to have command of like three or four languages conversational. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, but did you learn all the languages also from your cycling career?
French I learned from cycling, and because I lived in France for three or four years. So 3 years when I was 20 to 23, and then when I was 30, I lived for another just under a year down in the south as well. So I lived in Paris for 3 years, and then obviously I've been going back with races and picked it up again. But It was sink or swim. I didn't speak hardly any at all when I went, but they refused to kind of speak English to me. So I had to pick it up very, very quickly. So it was a few weeks of not speaking anything at all. Well, actually a couple of months, and then slowly piecing it together and actually ending up understanding reasonably well. So,
but that is pretty awesome, you know, that you learn a language through cycling.
Yeah, yeah. It is very, very cool. One of the many, many wonderfully cool things about bike racing. And I'm going to ask, actually, when we're still talking about bike racing, I want to ask you a few more questions after this next round. But, Celia, we've reached the point in the Unplugged podcast. It's competition time. Again, it's the second competition, but the competition is about, well, the competition, the quiz, should I say, is about you. Okay, so I've got three questions which are going to severely test the knowledge that you have about yourself, primarily your own race results. Okay, are you cool? Are you prepared? So we'll get another little jingle going. Okay. I'll do this one. We'll do this. Quiz time! Quiz time! Quiz time! Quiz time! There you go. It's quiz time. So
that was pretty good. You're much better than me, man.
No, I think once we've kind of like tidied yours up a little bit, I think it's something to behold, something very special. I think actually people might start downloading it as their own ringtone.
But maybe, you know, like also when people, they sing like professional singers, so they edit them, you know, like they put, I don't know how you say
it. Oh, they layer it, don't they? They layer the voice over the top.
Can you do that to mine as well? You know, so I actually sound better.
I'll see what Jake and Ewan can do in the editing process. They're very, very competent editors, to say the very least. So I'll see if they can. I think it's called overdubs. And here's a little fact for you about overdubbing. You know, the song by Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
At the time when it was made, I think end of 73, 1974, it was the song that had the most overdubs ever. And I think there were 400 overdubs to give that real layered texture to the sound and the uniqueness to the sound. So
400, that is mind-blowing.
Overdubs. Yeah, 400 overdubs. And bear in mind that the equipment back then wasn't anywhere near. So it was a lengthy process. I don't know who the producer was. So if anybody's listening, get in touch who produced that album. Or just look at the record. Anyway, it's competition time. So, okay. Yes. Celia, I need you to really concentrate now. I need you to, if you've not got a hat on now, pop to wherever you keep your thinking cap and pop it on. All right.
Okay.
So question number one, three questions. So I'm not too worried, but question number one. Okay. In 2012, you placed second in the World Junior Time Trial Championships. Okay.
Yep.
There's two questions within this question. First, I'd like you to guess, or maybe you know, what your average speed was. And I'm going to give you three choices. Okay? So to get that silver medal in the Worlds, was your average speed A, 40.661 kilometers an hour? Mm. Was it B, 40.666 kilometers an hour? Or was it C, 40.669 kilometers an hour? One of those was your average speed that won you that silver medal. If you can please give me your answer.
You know, you are crazy monkey. You know, because now I'm like, I don't even know the difference now. There was something 0.9 and something 0.6, or see, you already lost me, Matt.
Okay. They're all 40 kilometers an hour, but was the decimal point 661?
661.
666 or 669? So 661, 666 or 669?
It would have been awesome. It would have been 666, right? Or 666.
That would have been pretty awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Strange. I don't think it was that. I'm guessing the lowest, because, you know, then you can only surprise me in a good way. You know, it's always so shit to say 0.9 and then no, silly, you were 0.1. You know, then it's not so nice. So I'm going to go with the lowest.
So you're going to go 661.
Yes.
It's incorrect. The answer was 40.666.
Ah, damn it. Yes. I was epic.
That was
So there you go. And actually, for a cheeky bonus point, that that incorrect answer still scored you, rather than 500 points, it scored you 213 points. An unusual point score. But for an extra 400 points,
okay,
who was on the podium with you?
See, that is funny. Okay, that I know though. So it was Eleanor Barker. I think she won, right?
She won. Eleanor Barker of Great Britain. Yes. She won, yep.
Yes. And then Demi de Jong was third.
Correct. She was third. So you get an extra, I think I said 413 Ooh. Points. Hopefully Jake will be taking down the points. But well done. So you've retrieved, you've got a few points back there from the incorrect guess early on. So well done. So you can just compose yourself now. Just dust yourself down. Maybe mop your brow if you've been sweating.
I have been sweating. I need a towel here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So set yourself in. This is question number two. Okay. And it's regarding the Tour of Flanders, the Ron van Vlaanderen. Okay.
Okay.
Now, back in 2014, you rode your first ever Ronde. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you remember your final position?
Oh. Okay. I think I was so proud that, you know, I actually got through it, like that I finished the race. You know, I was like, wow, I finished the first Tour of Flanders, you know. So, and I think, okay, so maybe it was in the 60s or in the 50s. Like, I think I finished within top 100. And I'm guessing, okay, so do I need the exact place or is it around?
If you get the exact place, you're going to end up with 500 points. And then I'll think of another point score. Then if you get quite near, you'll get a few more points, but not quite as much as 500. So this is a big, big question, Celia. You could walk away, if you get this right, with 500 points in your back pocket. That's big. That's big points.
Yeah. You can hear, actually, my stomach is aching. You know, my stomach is like, oof. I can feel it. The things that, you know, we put on the line. Okay. A wild shot here. 56.
56. It's not right, I'm afraid. Your final finishing position was 75th. 75th. And I think the following year you were 56th or 66th. So the year after, you moved up about 20 places. Yeah. I've been digging deep into your results, digging deep in my research.
Now, you know me better than myself.
It's easy when you have the internet to hand. So
Google is your friend, Matt.
Okay. You've got one more chance now to get some more points in the bag for question number three. And thankfully, you'll be thinking, this is the last question, okay?
Okay.
Now, this is based
I'm
on
so
something.
I'm so bad at this quiz.
No, but this one is from more recent times, okay? Mm-hmm. So hopefully the things will come into a little bit more focus, but it's one you're going to have to think about. Okay, so here we go.
Okay.
Last year, Sile, so the 2019 season, how many top tens did you have, which included overall in general classification and team time trials? So placings on stages, one-day races, team time trials and GCs. How many top tens did you have? I'm going to give you a choice. Okay. Was it 14?
Mm-hmm.
Was it 15? Or was it 16 top tens in 2019? Take your time. Don't rush.
Okay. Seriously, I have no clue. I mean, it's like, but it could be really, like, it could be good for the morale if it was 16, I would say.
Definitely good for the morale. That's a solid, that's a solid season, right? Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so then, and you would not be so nice, Matt, if it was 14, because then... So I'm going to go with 15, just because it's in the...
In the middle.
Yeah. I'm going to go with 15.
Are you sure? Are you sure you want to go with 15?
Can you... Normally, you know, if I would have seen you live, you could have, you know, winked at me.
I can't do any of that. I can't even... Even if I wink now, you wouldn't... There's no noise that comes with it, so I can't even help you cheat. I'm sorry.
Yes, you can, Matt. Okay, so what are you going to do now? You're going to say 14 and then 15, and then when it's the right answer, you say at the end. Because
tell you what, your train of thought in relation to where you're thinking is good. So let's rule out 14. So I'm going to give you a hand. You're on the money. It's either 16 or 15. Mm-hmm. Is that your final answer?
Yes, because I think, you know, feeling the energy of this, you know, you didn't want to disappoint me once more with saying 15 and then saying, oh, Sille, sorry, but you're so shit at this quiz. So what you actually did right now is just give me a chance to have a bit of a point. So we're going to say 16, and then I hope that you pop the champagne.
My microphone has just gone funny, but yes, it is 16.
What? Ugh, I feel so good now. I feel relieved and I feel happy. We should pop some champagne. Or
we can't. I'm sorry about this. Can you hear my microphone making a funny noise?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm now going to just turn it off and turn it on again, and I will rejoin the call. So we might keep this in because it's actually quite fun. It just shows that this is real life. So I'm now going to eject myself and come back in, but you stay on the line. See you in a minute. Bye.
Yeah, ciao, ciao.
Welcome to Sille Unplugged. Down, down, down. This will be a funny podcast. You can bet that on a beer or on a glass of wine.
I'm just, from now on, I'm going to be the host and I'm going to be asking myself the questions, and I'm going to then give me myself the points. So actually, from now on, I'm going to give myself 1,000 points every time I get a correct answer. So, okay, what the first question is going to be, what did you have for breakfast, Sille? And I'll say, okay, I'll have yogurt. And then I'll say, ding, 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 1,000 points for me. But anyway, I'm going to continue giving myself some more points. So, question number two. What do I have in the bottle next to me? And I'm going to say water. And I'm going to give myself 2,000 points actually for that. Because that was actually a really good guess. Because you cannot see actually, because the bottle is white. So, you know, you cannot see what's inside. So that was actually a really, really good guess, Sille. Can I give myself an applause here? That is absolutely amazing, Don. Okay. And Matt is actually still on the toilet, or I'm not sure what he's actually doing. I'm really hungry at the moment. I should have taken a bit of a snack before, but I actually sit next to some bars. So what I could do is actually eat a bar. And it's maybe a bit weird. I think Matt is actually calling me now. Ugh, he wants some attention here. Hi, Matt.
Hello, it's me.
Don't worry, I'm just taking over the podcast. Okay, so I'm just gonna continue. So, what do I have here? Okay, I have, so it's of course the SIS bars. I have a red berry taste. You know what could be funny is that we ask the audience what they like the most of these bars. Okay, so what I do have a flavor choice is, let me see. Ooh, okay, so I think I have 4 choices. Maybe I have a 5th, but I'm not sure. Okay, we're just gonna say 4 choices. So you can either choose the SIS blueberry taste, or you could have the red berry taste, or the apple and black currant one, or the final banana fudge. So now I'll give you actually 10 seconds, no, maybe less. I'll give you 5 seconds to think about which one you would choose. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, so your 5 seconds have passed. And I think what you did say is banana fudge. Yeah, I totally agree with you. That is exactly what I need now. And yeah, it's actually rude to eat while you podcast. But the thing is, I'm actually the only one on this podcast, so I'm afraid you're just gonna have to deal with it. I'm really sorry. It's actually really good. Mm. Yes, I must say.
I think that's what it was. And the microphone just got corrupted due to the excitement levels. What do you think?
No, I think it's your technique skills that that shows here, Matt. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I tell you what, though. That was a cracking pod. the fact that you obviously took over at one point. I'm kind of a little bit, I don't know. We'll have to talk about it maybe after the pod, how we kind of work this out. But it was nice of you to take over. It was like, I felt like you were like a little, like I was a ship and I was sinking and you were a little kind of like little lifeboat that came along and then suddenly became even bigger than the ship itself and actually took over.
I just try to help. I could see a friend in need.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'm gonna try to save you, Matt, here.
Thank you very much. Well, I tell you what, it's been an absolute pleasure as ever, Cile, talking to you. I can't believe it's been over. I know there was a few technical difficulties, but we were chatting for nearly an hour. Yeah, nearly an crazy. Hour. Just waffling on, and it was brilliant. And just one last thing before we go.
Yes.
A little recommendation. I mean, we're all holed up in different kind of guys, not in different guys, in different kind of situations all over the world now. But we do, all of us like a little bit of TV, a bit of movies. What have you been watching recently that you would recommend of an evening just to sit back and relax with a bowl of popcorn and a glass of vino or something? What's your go-to show at the moment before we wrap things up?
I'm not sure what's the go-to show, but I mean, my favorite movie of all time. Maybe okay. I could mention that one.
Yeah,
I mean,
go for it. Yeah, why not?
Okay, so it's Shawshank Redemption. Have you ever seen that?
I have, yeah.
Man, it's just one heck of a movie. I love that. And you know, and if people, I think people should, if they haven't seen it, they should definitely watch it because it's such a good movie.
I think it's universally agreed by fans and critics alike as one of the top 100 films of all time.
Yes.
Yes. Wasn't it written by Stephen King? It was based on a short story by Stephen King called The Green Mile, I think.
Yeah, that's possible.
But no, I have seen it a long time ago, but maybe I'll watch it again. But that was I think it's a very, very...
Which one is yours? If you could give a tip, what's your to-go-to?
This is the Cecilia Utrecht Ludwig podcast. but you are like, that's a good one. You can tell now. You can tell I'm on the back foot, can't you?
Yes. I didn't have any. And I love it.
Oh God, I think one of my favorite films recently. I think my favorite recent film is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino's latest film. That was a brilliant film. A slow burn. Just a very, very different kind of film, different than all Tarantino's previous movies. Obviously, it's got Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio in it. But it's a take on the Sharon Tate story. I won't spoil it and give anything away. It's just, there's a real twist and it's just a wonderfully paced movie, different than all of his other films, and just a real, a kind of fairy tale about Hollywood, really, which was, which stood out. But I think one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's kind of a very, very nostalgic film because I'm a fan of science fiction and fantasy, is Empire Strikes Back, the Star Wars movie. That is probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
That's also a good one.
But there you go. Anyway, thank you very much, Cecilia. Sorry about all the technical difficulties.
No worries.
But it's been an absolute pleasure. And hopefully our paths will cross in real life sooner rather than later, once we can put all this very difficult situation behind us. But no, you've been an absolute diamond, and you look after yourself.
You too, Matt. I think, sorry, I'm just laughing because, it has been really good amount of fun. And like always, it's nice chatting to you, Matt. And take care.
Indeed. Thanks very much. And see you soon. Right. Well, we've gotten about 7 minutes into Kenny's 90-minute cassette over the past couple of episodes, so I think we should keep chipping away at it. Here we go.
Being with a team for so many years is not that the luxury of being able to carry out our profession. i.e. we have not ever had a bicycle sponsor. I have been writing poems and small songs, small Belgian folk songs. Belgian folk songs are very popular in Belgium. About the bicycle. It is something I yearned for because at the moment I'm primarily surrounded by very, very small vegetables in tins. And this makes me think of another time. So I found a small piece of paper inside one of my pockets. It is a poem I wrote for the bicycle last year. And now I am going to read it again to you for your entertainment. I hope you like it. It's been around before, but you know, it's nice to sometimes to make it again. Poem for a bicycle. Bicycle. You were my first friend, like a taxi with no roof or doors, but I could take you anywhere, to the vegetable factory, the candle office, the horse museum, Patrick Lefebvre's house, before the injunction. You spoke without words, the language of freedom. Yeah, this is a nice poem for the bicycle. Also, I'm looking forward to, hopefully at some time, coming out of this factory of peace and launching the new sponsorship for the 2021 season, or maybe the end of the 2020 season. And we have lots of new sponsors. We have three new sponsors. I will list them now for you. They're big in the world of hemorrhoid cream, in the world of pet food, and in the world of nozzles. The first is Anal Sports, which is the hemorrhoid cream for all the family. It is really nice to have these guys on board for the team for the 2021 season, hopefully. Now, Anal Sports have been supplying buttock gap cream for all the family since 1993, the people all over the world, but mostly in West Flanders region of Belgium. It is aimed at families who enjoy being outside doing sports, but also not having hemorrhoids at the same time. So by applying the Anal Sports daily to your regions, you can be almost sure that hemorrhoids may not happen while you are sitting, standing, walking, canoeing, cycling, or even on a horse, or even standing on a roof. It is very, very safe. Also, another sponsor to come inside the stable of Top Bunk. I'm very proud to announce Pet Food Popsicles for Pets. Give your pet the smile of cool, meaty freshness. Now, Pet Food Popsicles for Pets are filling the gap in the market for 1 year now, successfully identifying that pets, so dogs, cats, chickens, rabbit, horse, or frog, eat food like people, but in a different but the same way. People like popsicles inside their mouths to cause refreshing and nutrition moments. And PFPFP scientists, we have the scientists researching all the scientificals, acknowledge that that many pets are jealous of this, wishing they too could have a refreshing meaty moment. Weeks of research later, Pet Food Popsicles for Pets was born in the Russian town of Pechibolka in Russia, breathing life into a large find of reclaimed meat of unknown origin. And then finally, the new sponsor for the 2021 season is Euronozzle, very, very big international European company. Euronozzle International, in brackets, provide year-round nozzles to companies and also actual people who require or are needing to attach a nozzle in Europe, in brackets, to something. For example, the cow nipples, nipples of a cow, the hose pipes, the petrol pumping, thin pipes, medium-sized pipes, and also the ketchup factory, and indoor horse extraction extension tubes, in brackets for outdoor horse extraction extension tubes, please send a fax. Euronozzle. Our nozzles are your nozzles. Let's put them inside things together.
Well, thanks as ever, Kenny. And thank you for listening. We'll have another podcast next week, so please do subscribe and rate this one to help it reach more people who enjoy the lighter side of cycling. And don't forget, this May, you can get £25 cash back when you buy a Wahoo Element Bolt at Sigma Sports. As we mentioned before, just visit sigmasports.com/podcast. And finally, please keep on voting for your favourite painting, either number 1, 2, 3, 4, my favourite, or number 5. But for now, from me, in my loft, it's goodbye.
Matt, stop right there. I think you're forgetting that this is my podcast. I mean, remember to tune in on Silas Unplugged by Sigma Sport Podcast.
Whoa, hold on a minute, Silas, blimey. What?
This is my podcast. I'm taking over, Matt, and I'm doing it forever. You are out, Matt. You're out.
What?
I mean, it's me. Sorry, but I'm taking over, Matt. You're out. You're too slow. Oh. Sorry.
All right. Bye.
Cheers. Yeah, bye forever, Matt.